Hello and welcome to our new podcast. Today, we are going to talk about the topic Belt and Road Initiative. Long time ago, there were routes both on land and water that existed in the world through which exchange of goods, traditions and people were done. It was known as Silk Route. In 2013, President of People's Republic of China thought to revive this route and termed it as Belt and Road Initiative. He roped in this initiative several countries which together accounts 40% of the global GDP. Under this initiative, multiple projects were launched: a highway in Pakistan, a port city in Sri Lanka, a forest city in Malaysia, a hydropower plant in Uganda, and many more. As we speak, roads, railway lines, shipping routes, ports, and industrial parks are being built in at least 72 countries. In the Belt and Road Initiative, the belt refers to route via landmass and the road refers to the maritime route from China to Southeast Asia and to Africa and all the way to Europe. Belt consists of 6 corridors and one such corridor is China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which combines the economic belt with maritime route, giving China access to the Arabian Sea. For Pakistan, it means money and development. Pakistan, as we know, is not a popular choice for investment, and this fact is being exploited by China. The cost of this project is estimated to be $62 billion, which is roughly 1/4 of Pakistan's total GDP. Now, if we talk from where all this money is coming, who is funding all these projects? These are financed by heavily subsidized loans given by Chinese banks. Now the question arises, what happens if a country fails to pay these loans? Then it has to lease out the project or ports to China. This is where the whole game spins. It is a kind of debt trap. The examples are Gwadar port in Pakistan, military base in Djibouti, Tajikistan's land was ceded to China, Hambantota port, and many more. According to report by Center for Global Development, which says 23 Belt and Road Initiative member nations are under a high risk of debt distress. Most of the construction projects are given to Chinese companies and the funding is being done by Chinese banks. The workers from China are working across the globe. Now, at this time, let me tell you a fact. Belt and Road Initiative will only increase China's GDP by 0.1% in next 5 years. From this, we can say it is more of a strategic project than economic. China, under this project, is developing various ports in Indian Ocean, which is like string of pearls. All this is done to dominate the world. Now, talking about the sustainability of Belt and Road Initiative, here comes the twist. China has given loans to the countries which cannot repay, countries where government is not stable and unreliable. Most of the projects are running into trouble. Example is, most CPEC projects has been halted. Most of the countries are now limiting them from further investment from China. Chinese banks are cracking in pressure of debt. According to report, China's 2 largest policy banks have dramatically scaled down overseas lending, falling from $75 billion in 2016 to just $4 billion in 2019. Which is a drop of about 94%. 595 banks and financial firms of China are highly risky and most of these banks are linked to Belt and Road Initiative. They are facing issues due to repayment of loans, economic distress due to Belt and Road Initiative. Having said that, Belt and Road Initiative, which started with One Belt, One Road, now stands at One Belt with many roadblocks. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe and follow our channel.